This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to On Target St. John's. My in-studio guests today are Kevin Cody. You might be familiar with him from VOCM News. We have him on relatively frequently. He's with the Alliance for the Control of Tobacco, the executive director. And Melissa Moore, she's the program and education coordinator with ACT. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, the reason why I invited you both in here today is because yesterday you launched an education campaign when it comes to the issue of vaping. And Kevin, you've been very clear about this. You're calling vaping in our schools today a crisis.
Absolutely. And I'm just stealing that word, actually, from health professionals and others, you know, the U.S. Surgeon General and so on, right down the line. They're all referring to this youth vaping as a crisis. It's very concerning. The rates are through the roof. And we just have to try to do something before all these people are on the path to addiction.
So this campaign is aimed at who specifically, Melissa?
Well, right now this campaign is basically looking to educate and inform parents, trusted adults, any youth influencer. So coaches, teachers, anyone who works with youth, even peers, to be honest with you, anyone that has the ear of a youth. Because what we are finding is that there's a lot of myths and a lot of misinformation out there that says that vaping is harmless, or that it's just water vapor, or they look a certain way or they act a certain way. And we know that a lot of the things that people are believing are just false. So what we're trying to do is educate and inform, make people more aware so that they can then go and they can talk to youth about vaping and they can inform them and educate them about, you know, what it is, what it looks like, and the problems that they have.
So that's who it's targeting and mm-hmm. some of what the messages will be. What are some of the key messages throughout this campaign?
There's three key messages right now. One is, you know, that vaping is not harmless. It's not just water vapor. There's other chemicals, nicotine most especially, that are in vapes that is dangerous for youth especially. What they look like, because they can look like little USBs, they can look like pins, they're easily hidden. They are created and they're manufactured in a way to make them not so visible to the naked eye when you're looking for what you're looking for. And then that the industry, the vaping industry, the manufacturers especially, again, are really targeting youth. They are targeting our kids to have things like the flavors that are in vapes are strawberry and vanilla and mint and watermelon, things that, you know, a lot of adults probably wouldn't be interested in, but a lot of kids certainly would. So those are the three messages that we're trying to get out there right now.
You were talking about the vapes themselves and how they've changed, mm. and they've become these quite innocuous little devices.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes it's hard to distinguish exactly what they are, if they look like a USB stick in particular.
They look a lot like school supplies.
But also, it seems to me that you no longer see these great big huge clouds of vapor like you used to want. I mean, some people thought it looked pretty cool. I used to think
yes.
it looked silly to see these huge clouds of vapor surrounding people. If you were driving, you'd have to keep your windows down because there's no way
absolutely
you'd be able to see. But that's not the case anymore. Is that correct?
The vape that comes out of these devices, it is different. It does look different than traditional tobacco smoke. Traditional tobacco smoke is a little bit more sort of flimsy, for lack of a better word. The vapor that comes out of these devices is a bit thicker, but certainly people use them differently. So some people inhale, you know, a lot, and they can expel then a lot. Some people just do it very sort of gradually and gently, and they don't expel as much. So, yeah, there are certain times that you don't really notice. And we've heard anecdotally from around the country and in the States and even in Newfoundland, actually, that kids are using them in school and not being noticed because they are blowing the vape in their book bags, or they're blowing it up their sleeve, or they come up with the things to do to make them not noticeable. So, yeah, for sure.
So what makes it so attractive to young people in particular, Kevin?
Well, I think you've just been addressing it there, just the way the industry has presented them. I mean, they can look very attractive, and you know, if young people want to be in with everyone else, as is often the case, the peer pressure, then once they see someone with this attractive device, they wonder, where am I getting mine, and can I get one even a little more attractive? Industry has done a wonderful job in terms of selling this to young people. As Melissa just indicated, you know, the flavors, that's certainly one thing. The design is certainly something else. And of course, you know, the promotion. Just watched a news article last night from the States talking about Massachusetts suing Juul, the leading e-cigarette maker, I guess, or the most popular, because they found hidden documents that indicate that they were actually buying ads to place and did place on youth channels, on the youth networks, you know. Even though they denied that, oh no, they'll tell you faithfully, our audience is the adults. They'll tell you that, but then, like Melissa said, why cotton candy? Why cherry? Why all these other things?
I understand one flavor is something right. Like purple unicorn or
absolutely.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah. My goodness, yeah. Yes. Yeah, watermelon fluff and unicorn sparkle and things like that, yeah, for sure.
So the awareness campaign, what is it targeting now? Is schools particularly, or how is it going to work?
It's right now we are using social media as our main conduit. We do have billboards that you're going to see and that parents and people, the general public will see as they're driving down the road. So the digital billboards as well as the traditional paper billboards that we have in the around the province. And as well then we're going to be using a lot of Facebook and the Google display network. So you'll see ads on Facebook, but also on VOCM and other sites. And so we can target those because Google is very good at allowing us to choose a target. So we can choose people who live in Newfoundland, people that, you know, say on Facebook that they have school-age children. So we can do a whole bunch of things that way. That's where our main focus is going to be right now. We're also going to use a little bit of Twitter. You know, may go to Instagram. We haven't decided. But Facebook, really, and the Google Display Network are the two main focuses that we have right now.
And just to add to that, you know, I was asked a question yesterday, why aren't you totally focusing on youth as opposed to going to parents? But this is just one step, the next step in our comprehensive plan. We started back 6 months ago to put together a package to go to the schools, which we did. We gave a presentation, we prepared a presentation, we had the all schools, the English school district, the French school district, the private and the Aboriginal schools all agreed and supported us that they would have their teachers present it to their junior and senior highs. So we gave them the presentation, they just had to go with it. So we've gone to the students, we have posters in the schools. We have information in the schools. We've also, another step that we've gone is educating the healthcare professionals who might be dealing with these students. So three webinars were held educating them on vaping, and we had over 500 people attend those three webinars. So this is the next step, and the next step we concluded was we've got to get some messaging directly to parents and trusted adults so that they can know what to look for, maybe know how to respond, and begin the discussion with their young, with their teenagers, the young people. So, and that's not the end of it, you know. We hope then to continue, and certainly we will be going back with more messaging directed to youth directly.
Kevin Cody and Melissa Moore of the Alliance for the Control of Tobacco, my in-studio guests this afternoon. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Our in-studio guests this afternoon are the Executive Director of the Alliance for the Control of Tobacco, also known as ACT, Kevin Cody, and Program and Education Coordinator Melissa Moore. And we've been talking about this campaign that you launched yesterday, and I was going to ask you now, what are the current stats in Newfoundland and Labrador when it relates to vaping?
Well, right now our vaping rates when it comes to youth are very, very high. The Canadian rate for people aged, well, grade 7 to grade 12, in Canada that rate of ever tried, so sometimes you see ever tried or you see past 30-day use. Ever tried in Canada is about 33%, and in Newfoundland it's 47%. So we're quite high for ever tried with our youth. But then we've got past 30-day use. So these are our kids that are reporting that they're using it in the past month and probably more than once. So it's not just I had a puff or I tried it. It's we're actually using it. And in Newfoundland and Labrador right now, that's about 30% of our kids. So one-third of our kids who are in grades 7 to 12 are reporting that they've used it within the past 30 days.
And we all know teenagers, if they've done it in the last 30 days, they're doing it fairly regularly.
Right. And that's also self-reported, too. So, it's not necessarily something that, we can say it's the absolute definite number. It could be higher. It could be much higher. We just don't know. Because it's self-reported, but right now it's too high for our liking, for sure.
So how are they acquiring these devices, and is there a cost associated? Is it more cost prohibitive than say smoking, or is it cheaper?
There's an upfront cost to the e-cigarettes because you have to buy the device first. So that usually runs about $60, sometimes about $50. And then each pod that you buy to go in it is generally about $10 to $12, depending on where you're buying it. You can buy these at convenience stores and gas stations, but also in the vape shops. And we know we've all seen the vape shops all around the city. The regulations that we have right now state that you have to be 19 to buy. But the kids are getting them somewhere. So they're either getting them from friends or getting them from family. We have heard some instances where parents are buying them for their children because they think they're safer, or they think they don't really know that they shouldn't, it's something that could cause an addiction. It's something that could cause some health problems. So they're getting them fairly regularly, basically from their friends and from their family, or they're going in and buying them. But we have pretty good compliance rates with our vape shops and with our convenience stores and things. They're pretty good with following the legislation. So, but mostly I think it's probably friends.
Well, yeah, when you're a teenager, where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely, yeah, you're going to get it.
I mean, it's the same. It was the same with cigarettes. I mean, you could buy. When I was in the school system, kids were selling cigarettes in school out of the pack, a single cigarette for whatever.
You could even buy them in the store one at a time.
Yeah, yeah. So, they'll get them. And, of course, internet, online. I had someone from Service NL tell me yesterday that they had investigated a case of, the product coming in online to young people. Obviously, they can't check their age, so... there's ways to get these, and that's the bottom line.
So what makes it so popular here? Why are our numbers higher than the national average?
That's an excellent question. I wouldn't even be able to know what the answer to that is. I would assume it's because we are a little bit more isolated. The schools are a little bit more, the kids hang around, each other, and they kind of influence each other. But I really wouldn't even begin to give you an answer to that one on why we are one of the highest, actually, in the country.
So why is it such a great concern, especially among young people?
Do you want to take that, Kevin?
Well, the name of our campaign says it all. It's the new look of nicotine addiction. So that's the biggest concern we have. Young people think they're harmless and there's no big deal, and they'll say that to people like me or their parents or whoever else older than them. But the reality is, it takes very little to get addicted to nicotine. A couple of uses can do it, and sometimes maybe just one use can do it. Addiction to nicotine, you could be going down a path of no return. And we know that from many, many, many years ago when all young people were smoking. And our rates were high and still high today in the older population because they got on the path of nicotine addiction. And I think most smokers will tell you that they've tried to get off that path many, many, many times. And some were successful, thankfully. Many not successful and still having to deal with it today. So that's the biggest issue for us, is the nicotine addiction.
And this is the dichotomy, though, isn't it? Because you on the one hand, you have young people who are being introduced, perhaps, to nicotine addiction through vaping. And on the other hand, you have adults who have been addicted and have this millstone around their neck for ever so long, trying to get off nicotine and going to vaping as a way to release themselves from that addiction. Yep. So it's a difficult and fine kind of line that you're walking here.
It is interesting you mentioned that. Dr. Leslie Phillips from the School of Pharmacy mentioned to me yesterday she had a huge increase in people in the last little while trying to quit smoking. And of course, many of them wonder if the way to do it is through vaping. And, you know, for anyone who can do it that way, well, you know, kudos to them. That's wonderful. But what we generally find is that you end up doing both because you're getting nicotine two different ways. So it's something you have to be very careful with. But people are still trying to find a way to quit smoking. And we fear that in years to come, people will be, our current young people will be trying to find a way to quit vaping.
So do all vaping products contain nicotine?
No, not necessarily. Most of them that are sold, you can have them with or without nicotine. Most kids are smoking ones with nicotine. Most adults, if you're going to be using them to quit smoking, there's really no sense of using it without nicotine if that's what you're trying to use it for, to replace the nicotine in cigarettes. But no, not all of them do. You can buy the pods with or without nicotine. Yeah.
Indeed, because I guess if a parent was purchasing this and they see watermelon, they're not going to think watermelon could possibly be harmful in
exactly,
any way.
Exactly, yeah.
So are the ingredients listed? How can a parent make these choices and be well informed?
Well, the best choice is to not buy them at all, to be honest, for your kids. Just don't be at it. But if you are using it, or if you have a child that is using it now, the nicotine content is labeled on it. The other ingredients, not necessarily. But, you know, it's very, very well... very well established on that little pod how much nicotine is in it. You can buy it in 5 mils or 10 mils or whatever. But the other ingredients and the things that are in the vapor are not necessarily listed on the package. No, not like in cigarettes.
A conversation I had with Dr. Leslie Phillips, and she indicated to me that part of the problem with vaping is that you can suck in a lot more because cigarettes tend to be a little bit harsh on the throat. Mm-hmm. These tend to be very smooth, so you're actually consuming more nicotine, she tells me, than you would if you were smoking a traditional cigarette in many cases.
And the other thing, too, about them is that with traditional cigarettes, they're burning out in your fingers sometimes. You know, you're holding it, and it's burning away, and then it's gone. And then you sort of go about your daily business. But with the vapes, it's kind of constantly there, and you can just do it and put it back and do it and put it down and keep it sort of in your pocket constantly or whatever you're doing. So it's a little bit of a different method to using them, which makes, in my opinion anyway, vapes a little bit more worse, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Indeed, I get what you're saying. So it's kind of a brave new world. I mean, vapes have been with us for quite some time now, but it seems like the regulatory process, like a lot of things these days, is trying to catch up.
Yes, that's exactly where we are. It's the horse out of the barn. Now we got to get them back and the door closed again. But I think the same. You can see the comparison to regular cigarette use. People didn't know years ago when, I mean, they were passed out like candy. What's the big deal? Everybody's going to smoke. No one knew what it was leading to. It's only now, I think, that people are beginning to realize, there's something to this vaping. We better have another look. But, you know, we're 10 years out or longer, and we're taking that look now. So we have to try to get all that those past years made up, which is extremely difficult. But I guess the key for us is to get the message out. Repeat the message and repeat until the message is heard and people, change their ways.
Is it an uphill battle? Because, I mean, this is a very different age when it comes to social media and access to information and all those kinds of things. One time it was the traditional media and that was it. You either advertised on the radio or the television or the paper and that was it. But now messages are being shared in ways that go beyond advertising, if you know what I mean, paid advertising, and images and ideas are suggested, if you will, in a variety of ways. So how do you keep all that in check?
With great difficulty, but we do our best. But, one of the things that we constantly say is, we can't be fooled and we can't be complacent, because the industry, both the tobacco industry and the vaping industry, a lot of the vaping industry has been bought up now by the tobacco industry. They are on the ball. They are ready. They've got the ideas out there. They're changing their products. They're making them more appealing. They're doing things like advertising in ways that we would never assume, like Kevin was talking about earlier with the advertising on Nickelodeon and Disney Plus and the Disney Channel. Who would have ever thought that they would do that? It would never cross anybody's mind, but here we are. So, catching up with the industry is something that we've always been looking to try to do across the country and, in fact, across the world.
Melissa Moore and Kevin Cody of the Alliance for the Control of Tobacco, my in-studio guests this afternoon. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Kevin Cody, the Executive Director, and Melissa Moore, the Program and Education Coordinator of ACT, or the Alliance for the Control of Tobacco, my in-studio guests this afternoon. We're talking about vaping, and yesterday you launched an awareness campaign that you're hoping to target especially two young people and the people surrounding young people and have influence over young people, including parents. So we've seen a lot of stories nationally, internationally. We've had a number of cases here in Canada and one known case in Newfoundland and Labrador related to vaping. And I believe cannabis is usually associated with many of these, but I'm not sure what the specific associations are. But what are the known health impacts of vaping?
Well, right now, as you said, we do know that there is there have been many reports of lung disease with the vaping, and it is linked to cannabis. But there have been some cases where they are just smoking or they are just using the nicotine vape pods. But really, it is what we say is we just don't really know right now. The long-term research is not there, but we do know that. The only thing that should be put in your lungs is clean, healthy air. So if you are putting anything into your lungs, any kind of vapor, any kind of smoke, and especially in such a condensed way, really that's going to not be good for your lungs. Your lungs really do need that healthy, clean air. There's been reports of shortness of breath. Some people get chest pains. The addiction is also also a problem, of course. That's the main issue is the addiction. But basically, what we say again is, you know, just don't put it in your lungs if unless it's air.
Yeah, so and that's the key. Mm-hmm. That's the key right there. The fact that the lungs are not prepared for this, you know. And I know if you look at some of the chemicals that are listed to go with vaping, electronic cigarettes, some people might see similarities to some of the things listed in some food items we have. But again, going back to Dr. Leslie Phillips, as she would tell you, digesting is, you cannot be comparing that to the inhaling. Right, there's the lungs are not meant to take what we might be able to digest versus you know, inhale. So there's a real concern, we don't dwell on those cases of severe lung disease that have been reported, because we think and it's been shown that certainly many of them are cannabis related. But then again, of course, we have to keep in mind that's a reality too, because young people can access the cannabis, I'm sure, you know, as we discussed a little while ago, and they can be using it in their e-cigarette devices. So it's a real concern. The best thing, as Melissa has said, is air only in your lungs. You know, fresh air, good fresh air, and that's what the lungs are meant to handle and how they function.
The vape juice itself, you're talking about the ingredients in vape juice, but not everybody buys the pre-made vape juice. Some people can make it.
Oh, you can buy the ingredients online. You can actually buy, you know, great huge bottles of pure nicotine, which is in fact a poison. It's extremely dangerous. To everybody, it's an actual poison. So you can buy all of the ingredients. I know years ago, before the vape shops became as popular as they are, people were making it in their basements. They were just brewing it up in their kitchens and selling it. So you can buy each ingredient individually, and you can make it yourself, which we hope is not happening because right now the things that are sold in the vape shops are regulated now by Health Canada, which is a good thing. But prior to those regulations happening, people were making it all over the place. Yeah.
So how does it differ then from smoking, or does it? In a practical sense.
I guess with the tobacco, we know there's a large list of chemicals in the tobacco product, you know, that's been researched for a long time, and the list is available to everyone, and we know that that these chemicals exist, and we know the harm that tobacco has done and continues to do for individuals. As Melissa referenced, the difference with the e-cigarettes is that we don't have the research. We can't really compare the two, scientifically, but I think the vaping is just in the young people's minds anyway more attractive. Some of them would probably shun away from tobacco smoke or those who are smoking, but they delve into this. They just get into this big time because it's attractive and it's new and it's modern and it's hip, or whatever the term is.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't rather smell like strawberries?
Well, exactly.
Tobacco smoke.
That's it too. There's no, you know, if you're smoking, and we used to tell kids this all the time, if you're smoking, don't think you're hiding it, because it's on your clothes, it's in your hair, it's on your skin. With the vapors and with the vaping products, it smells like cherries and peaches and watermelon, and it's really easy to hide the fact that you're doing it or that you're using them, because it smells like just general, you know, beauty products and deodorant and perfumes. The difference of, you know, the main difference, of course, between cigarettes and vapes is that cigarettes use combustion, so they're on fire. And so that combustion creates a lot of the harmful chemicals. There's no combustion in the e-cigarettes. It's a heating element, and the juice is just heated, and then which is probably why the myth came about that it's just water vapor, because it's just steam, which we now know is actually not the case. But they are, you know, different products, same delivery system of nicotine kind of thing, nicotine in your lungs. That's what they're meant for. But, you know, it's kind of, you can't really compare the two when it comes to their makeup.
So what about our current regulations and laws? Are they adequate? Do they need to be strengthened, Kevin?
Yes, there's room. There's room for strengthening on the federal scene. They're taking steps to deal with advertising to young people. They've taken steps with regards to age and where you can buy or can't buy. Our government has made some great steps forward too, but I think we're still waiting for more. It's a case of trying to get the research to back up what you want to do or what you decide to do, so you can defend your decision to do so. But I think we're moving in the right direction. Some people would say too slowly, but we're moving in the right direction, and the regulations are getting stronger daily in different provinces and across the country.
Do young people and their parents understand? And I'll get you as much on this conversation as possible, Kevin, because I know you have to leave us early. Do they understand the dangers, or is this what is prompting this particular campaign?
This is what's prompting the campaign. We believe everyone, certainly maybe more than less, do not understand the consequences or the hazards, the dangers. As Melissa said earlier, we had anecdotal evidence that parents were giving them to their teenagers for a birthday gift or a Christmas gift or whatever, with the thought being, stay away from smoking. Here, take this, stay away from smoking. Not realizing, and fair game, because obviously people didn't realize that could still lead to the nicotine addiction. And what we're finding is that since the e-cigarettes have become so popular, the smoking rates are bumping up.
And they've traditionally been going steadily down.
Or level. But, the studies are starting to indicate, uh-oh, what's happening here? So the only thing we can believe or think is that the e-cigarettes are actually encouraging or promoting smoking. So you may have a case, again, if you're into the nicotine, if you're addicted, you may have a case of use the e-cigarette when it's convenient, which is, you can't use your regular cigarette in a lot of locations. So use the e-cigarette when it's convenient. And then, of course, you also have the pack of cigarettes, so you're getting the dual use. And that's very concerning because of, and the rates are suggesting that. We don't have hard facts on it at the moment, but certainly suggesting that.
And the problem, too, is that a lot of our youth are using e-cigarettes and not smoking, and they've never smoked.
That's right.
And they are being introduced into the nicotine addiction by the e-cigarettes. And as Kevin said earlier, if someone came to us and said, I'm smoking a pack of cigarettes a day and I'm using the vapes and now I'm down to 3 cigarettes a day but I'm on the vapes, our general response to an adult who tells us that is, good for you. Make sure that you then quit all of it, but you're doing a great job by being off the cigarettes. But when it comes to the youth, they're not using it to quit smoking as a general rule. Yeah. They are using it, they're being introduced and initiated into the nicotine addiction by these devices, and then they're moving into the stronger, and the more problematic cigarette smoking.
And I think that's the conversation that we need to get parents involved in with the young people, with their children. Why are you vaping? You don't need it because you were a smoker, and this is trying to help you. So what's in the vaping that's of any value to you? You know, as Melissa said, we accept the fact that a 40, 50, 60-year-old person might decide to try the electronic cigarette to see if I can quit those blooming, you know, smokes that are, you know, driving me nuts and killing me, probably. But why is there a grade 6 using them, a grade 7, grade 8? You know, just out by the side of the school or out on wherever they are with their friends, just blowing what they think is harmless, liquid or water or whatever. So that conversation has to start, and it has to be in the homes. It has to be with the parents. It has to be with teachers, coaches, the trusted adults that we're talking about, to try and get this point clear.
It has to be recognized as risky behavior.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, Kevin Cody is leaving us now, and happy trails to you, Kevin.
Thank you.
We'll conclude the rest of the show with Melissa Moore of ACT right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Once again, thanks to Kevin Cody, Executive Director of the Association for the Control of Tobacco, Alliance for the Control of Tobacco. I'm sorry, I do that all the time.
That's okay.
Acronyms, who was our in-studio guest. Melissa Moore is with us now, and Kevin had to duck out a little bit early, so we allowed him to do that. But Melissa, if you had one key message for parents, what would it be?
Talk to your kids. Just talk to them. Don't be afraid of the issue. Don't be afraid to educate yourself on the issue. There's a lot of good information out there. We do have, with our new campaign, we do have a new website up, truthaboutvaping.ca. So you can go there, you can get information, you can call us, you can email us, anything that we can do to help, we're here for. But really, it's just talk to your kids and get the information, get informed, and then you can have that conversation. And you know, the more you know, the better off you are, kind of thing.
So fraught with difficulty, though, isn't it?
I mean,
we're
really
talking
is.
About an age group that really is difficult to impart wisdom to.
Absolutely. And the research is showing, too, that even you know, peers talking to peers, so, you know, or coaches or trusted adults, it's not necessarily just parents. Everybody has a role to play, and we all have a role to play in trying to just not educate our kids, but educate ourselves. And you know, we can all work together and hopefully get some conversations going, even if it's just a few seconds or a few words of, you know, don't be at it. You know, anything will do. Just don't be afraid to start that conversation.
Educate yourself. That's sometimes tricky because a lot of people don't know where to go to get the information.
They
so
can go to us. They can come to our, they can, like I said, you can call the ACT office. And we do have a website, truthaboutvaping.ca. You can go there and get the information. And anything at all that we can do to help, that's what we're here for.
That's your job.
That's my job.
Do you find it difficult to talk to young people? Do they say, you don't know what you're talking about?
You know, sometimes it is difficult. It's the message sometimes is better coming from somebody, you know, that they admire, somebody that they trust, or even their friends. So, you know, we see a lot of information getting passed around friend to friend, and peer to peer. But, you know, we still try, and we keep trying, and we keep trying to get that message. And they hear us. They might act like they don't hear us, but they hear us, and it gets into their heads, and that's all that we can ask, really, the same way that we talk to them about anything, is just keep on trying and don't give up.
Risky behavior, though, is a difficult message to put into young people's heads, because they do still have that sense of, can't happen to me, you know, I'm young, I'm beautiful, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
If only they knew how quickly it all falls apart.
Absolutely.
So do you find that part of that, risky behavior has always been attractive to young people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the risks of that behavior has always been hard to get that message across.
And they think they're invincible. And of course, at that age, they kind of are in a lot of ways. You know, they're young and they're bright, and their futures are bright, and you know, it's sometimes difficult to get that message to them of the choices that you make now they may follow you for a long, long time. And with any luck, you're going to make the right choices that will follow you for the right, you know, for the right reasons, not for the wrong ones. But it is a difficult message to get out. So we're going to do our best and hopefully try to nip this whole thing in the bud as fast as we can.
And when can we expect to start seeing more from this campaign?
It's actually running now, so you can see the billboards should be up now around, are all over the province. They're in Stephenville and Grand Falls, Carbonear here. The digital display ads are going to be in the mall, so you'll see them. And you should see them coming up on Facebook. So if anyone wants to, follow the ACT Facebook site or the Twitter feed, they could certainly do that at ACTNL on Facebook and Twitter. And you can see the ads there. And you'll see them coming up on the Google Display Network. So with any luck, and fingers crossed, it will. You'll be seeing them, today, tomorrow, and up until probably the end of March. And then we're going to keep running on social media then until May.
Vape shops, are they on board with a lot of this kind of information? You say there was very high compliance.
Yeah. The vape shops they're not the... They're not the industry. The manufacturers are really the ones that are creating these products. The retailers, the little stores, we don't take issue with the little stores. As long as they're not selling to youth, as long as they're in compliance of the regulations, they are just like the rest of us. They're hardworking folks. And we hope that they're going to support all of our efforts as well, because nobody wants our kids to be vaping and nobody wants that addiction to nicotine in their kids, and so they're we're all on the same page. I hope.
What's the good news when it comes to smoking, vaping?
We're learning. We're all learning, and we're making some positive moves forward. And we have a very supportive provincial government right now when it comes to these issues. We have very supportive partnerships across the province. The Cancer Society, the Lung Association, Heart and Stroke, the school districts, MUN. I mean, we're all working together. And this is a project and a program and a problem that we're all getting behind. So it's a joint effort, and that's something that it can be rare, and so we're really pleased that that's happening right now.
And Dr. Leslie Phillips is doing some great work at MUN as well.
She runs the smoking cessation clinic at MUN through the School of Pharmacy, and she's doing some really good work. And we also have a smokers helpline in the province, and they work with people that are addicted to nicotine and to the vapes. Just a shameless plug for the smokers helpline, 1-800-363-5864, and if you're a smoker or if you're vaping and you want to quit, absolutely, and contact them. We're just right here in St. John's, and try to help as many people as we can.
So there's supports out there.
There are.
It's a terrible addiction.
It is. Yeah.
A lot of people who are listening now, they got addicted as young people.
Absolutely.
And now wish they had that.
Absolutely.
Monkey off their back.
Yeah. And that's why we don't want our youth to start with the vapes. We want to make sure that they don't get that addiction to nicotine started earlier, or early as they can.
So once again, share some of those numbers with us again.
The Smokers Helpline is based in Newfoundland and Labrador, and we do talk to smokers and we talk to people who are vaping, and that's 1-800-363-5864. Or in fact, if you're a smoker, you can call the number on the cigarette pack. There's a Smokers Helpline number on the cigarette pack, and if you call that number, you actually go right to St. John's. If you're calling from a 709 area code, you're going to get a 709 Smokers Helpline, which is always awesome. And then us at ACT, the Alliance for the Control of Tobacco, you can email us. Our website is www.actnl.com and truthaboutvaping.ca.
And of course, Dr. Leslie Phillips has a fantastic program. She's there. She's got all the tools.
Absolutely.
You need to try. And that's great for anybody in the metro region, by the way, who
yes.
wants to really get serious about quitting
smoking.
Yeah,
that's run out of MUN School of Pharmacy. And you can, I don't have that number actually on the top of my head, unfortunately, but
it shouldn't be hard to find.
It should not be hard to find, no.
What are the? I was going to ask you this earlier, and I didn't have the opportunity, but I'll ask you now. And you forgive me if you don't have the numbers, but when it comes to vaping, mm-hmm.
Are there any hot spots in the province, or is it equally?
Oh, it's equal.
Yeah,
right across? Yeah, equal right across the board. And not just that, it's also equal in, different sort of, the age groups. So, when we say 7 to 12, grade 7 to 12, our vaping rates for the grade 7s, 8s, 9s, a little bit lower than the 10s, 11s, 12s. But we're also finding that kids are starting it even earlier than grade 7, and we don't necessarily have, the recent statistics on that, but we are hearing from parents and teachers. Sometimes they're saying, I've got my kid is in grade 6, or my kid is in grade 5, and they're asking me about it, and they're talking about it, and they've tried it, or I found one. So it's younger and younger. But across the province, across the country, really, is it's a problem.
Boys, girls?
Equal.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I know
relatively equal.
When it came to traditional smoking over the years, there have been some fluctuations in men and women.
There has. It used to be that girls started smoking before boys, and boys quit smoking before girls. And so we had all of these statistics. But right now, again, we're just learning, and the research is coming out every single day with different things. But right now, it's fairly equal. It's the kids just think that it's so trendy. And so cool, and it doesn't really matter who you are, you're doing it.
All right, Melissa, thank you very much
for
coming in this afternoon.
And
once again, Kevin, Cody, thank you as well. Important messages there for sure. And if anybody has any further information, they can always look you up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you once again. Tomorrow we're going to be back on Target, and we're going to talk Valentine's Day.
Oh, Valentine's Day.
Fraught with all kinds of stuff, but Janine Hubbard is going to talk us through it. We'll be back tomorrow at 1.